Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a full show for you tonight, an exciting show. I'm excited to be here. We're coming to you live this week from the Big A, and not the Big Apple, but Atlanta, Georgia, where it's kind of cool. I'm enjoying it. I'm excited, and it's nice to be here. We've had a very productive day with the firm out here today, and we're excited and look forward to doing some things tonight. Let's go ahead first with our first co-host because we've got a lot to cover tonight. We're going to go ahead and welcome to tonight's broadcast none other than Ms. J. Ms. J., welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you on board with us. Good evening.
Good evening, and hello to everyone. I'm glad to be back again where Dr. Walker is not just telling stories, but changing lives.
Okay, awesome. Glad to hear that. So let's go ahead now and welcome Benny from the block. Benny from the block.
Good evening. Happy Thursday, and what a wonderful day it is today in the big sunshine state. So happy to be a part of this conversation today. So let's go.
All right, we're going to go ahead and now welcome the one and only Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We are here live all the way from the Peachy State where Ms. J resides, and I'm so happy to be in this town tonight. Welcome, Pastor Rowe.
Well, that is hello, everyone. It's just great to be on the show, and we like your vision and purpose and all that you have, and especially in helping people to create their own financial portfolio. Looking forward to a great show tonight.
All right, excellent. Having said that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. Tonight's topic is making wise financial decisions in your personal life. Benny from the block, I want to go to you first. I want to ask this question. Why is it important? I mean, money is just money. Why is it important to make wise financial decisions in your personal life? What does that mean to you?
Well, when you make wise personal decisions, particularly in your financial life, it gives a blueprint of who you are as a person. Do you take responsibility with great authority and with great reason and rationale? And it also is a reflection on your personality. Am I just a free-flowing, just loose-going, just allowing anything, getting anything, just figure it out tomorrow type person? And so when you make good financial decisions, you create a consistency in not only just your financial life, your personal thinking about life, and it also helps you in your growth of life.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by your personal growth in life. We're certainly happy to have that come in to us tonight. Let me go ahead and bring in, now I can say from South Florida down there, let's go ahead and bring in Lady C. Lady C, welcome to tonight's podcast. It's an honor and pleasure to have you on board. Good evening.
Hey, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here tonight. I'm so excited about being here. I'm excited to hear everybody's opinion on tonight's topic. I am just excited.
Excellent. We're going to go now. You know, sometimes people, they find themselves running short, and it's like you know, they need all sorts of services, but then we can always count on this one guy. You know, I used to love to watch Superman as a kid. I'm talking about the original Superman. with Clark Kent, Christopher Reeves, was it George Reeves? Christopher, the older guy in the 50s. And what would happen is he'd go into this building and come out and jump Superman to the rescue. Well, we don't have the Superman to the rescue, but in his own form, we have Ricky to the rescue. Ricky to the rescue, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always good to have you, sir.
Thank you for having me, and it's my pleasure and opportunity to be with all you guys today. Here again, I am here and blessed, and I am ready to rock and roll.
Okay, Ricky to Rescue, you're also in the Georgia area, is that right?
Yes, I am.
I'm in Georgia. I'm here in Georgia. I got in. Today is Thursday. We came in Tuesday night. I think it was Tuesday night we got in late. And we're here for the next couple of days. I'm certainly hoping that I could possibly meet up with you. I've had an opportunity to meet up with Miss Jay out here in the Peachy State, and it's quite lovely, quite lovely.
Yes, that would be a great opportunity for us to be able to connect while you are here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love your town. This place is huge. I mean, huge. All right, we're going to use this standby. Lady C, let me bring you in here now, and I got to ask you, making wise decisions. So does this infer, suggest, or imply that making wise financial decisions in your personal life, that someone may not be making wise financial decisions?
Yes. There are quite a few people not making wise financial decisions. And when you go out there and buy that big expensive car that you can't afford, that's not a wise financial decision.
So are you saying that if I want to get me a Lamborghini and I'm only making $15 an hour and I'm working part-time, and that's my dream and it's my faith to have that car, you know, and I have no other source of income, no supplemental income, then are you saying it's not a wise decision to try to say, well, let me borrow like $14,000 from you to go make a down payment on my Lamborghini, Lady C? Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly what I'm saying. You can borrow money to go buy a Lamborghini that you can't afford.
Wow.
And that's not a wise decision.
Couldn't you help a brother out, Lady C?
Not to hurt him in the future. Now, I would help him out by giving him some advice on, you know, letting him know, hey, if this is what you want, you just got to work hard for it. You know, if you really want this, you're going to have to get a second job to, you know, support this. And you got to think about it. Mm-hmm. What's this person paying bills and things? You can't afford bills and a Lamborghini on a $15 an hour income.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, Lady C, you know what? Let me see if I can go call on Miss J. Miss J, let me ask you, Miss J, come on now. Brother wants to keep up in style. What is wrong with me having a Lamborghini? Even if I'm only working part-time, making $15 an hour, can't you spot me like $17,000, Ms. J? Come on. It's just money.
Ms. J, the subject is financial decision in your personal life. And my good financial decision was not to lend you a penny. Because if you ain't got the money to keep that car up and take care of the maintenance and all, what kind of good decision did I make? Because you definitely not making one. You know?
Wow. Wow, you all are hitting hard tonight. Pastor Rowe, let me see if we can have a little prayer up in here. Pastor Rowe, let me call on you. Pastor Rowe, you know, is it unwise for me to try to go after that car, even if I got to, Pastor Rowe, borrow the money from you, and I'll pay you back over, like, 40 years?
Well, I can answer that question by just saying something, you know, and I know on the 25th of this month, you know, you're going to be having the class, you know, creating your own financial portfolio. And that has to do a lot with management, you know. And I know that we can do anything that we want to do. I'll say this. Sometime I call different people, you know, that's a part of our movement, Sister Marjorie Cross. And if she's not there, I hear on the recording, she says something like, you know, do this, but put God first, you know. And if we put God first, we can do what we want to do. You know, scripture say if we do certain things, we will be lenders and not borrowers, you know. So making wise decisions, you know, when it comes to financial decisions, when we put God first, we have a movement where what you are doing, your vision, which is our vision, is, you know, help these children, people in Haiti, Jamaica, the U.S. and Africa and some places like that. And when we, you know, what we have and give it to God first, that's the way you manage your income. Put God first and see if he will not open the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive. You'll be able to buy Mercedes, Lamborghinis, and all of this, you know. But making wise financial decisions is put God first and make sure you pay your tithes and do what you got to do to help others.
Okay.
And
so
God
will
do the rest.
Right. So we're very familiar with Malachi 3:8-11, what it says, you know, seek ye first and so forth and go on. He'll open up the windows of heaven. Will a man rob God? So is that a yes that you would loan me the money, Pastor Rose, $17,000 to get the Lamborghini?
Well,
if I told you,
you
sought God first.
Well, I mean, I'll go along with the remarks that were made before you asked me to speak. You got to make wise decisions. I don't think I would do that.
All right, we're going to ask all of you all.
I will lend the money to you if you want to feed these children in Haiti.
I know.
And so on, but not to buy them again. I wouldn't do that.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, is making wise financial decisions in your personal lifestyle. And we got three of my co-hosts that just came right out and told me no, that they're not loaning me that money if I'm making $15 an hour. And you know what? You can't blame them because it's not wise to let somebody hold that kind of, I mean, extend that kind of money, in my opinion, of course, obviously in their opinion, and they're not in a position to really be able to afford that. Effie and Franco, these are our characters in tonight's story. Effie and Franco, now they've known each other basically all their lives. They married shortly after completing high school and have remained together since then. They are now in their early 60s. Now, keep in mind, they're in their early 60s, but cannot apply for Social Security benefits. Neither of them will have a pension from their jobs because their employers did not have a pension plan. Effie worked for more than 37 years in a warehouse packing orders for various shipments. Franco worked as a laborer with a construction company also for over 37 years. And just before we proceed, we're going to have Ms. J read the disclaimer in a few minutes after I finish the story. She'll read the disclaimer in tonight's story as covers all of our stories that are inspired by true stories. Now, Effie worked for more than 37 years in a warehouse packing orders for various shipments. Franco worked as a laborer with a construction company also for over 37 years. They have four adult children, none of whom did well financially for themselves after completing high school. The parents nor the children have any college or vocational education or training. Effie and Franco were born and raised in a rural community outside the state of West Virginia where they also raised their children. Now that Franco and Effie are having medical conditions, none life-threatening, thank God, they're wondering seriously whether they will be able to manage in their retirement. Now, following are some of the issues that they face. There are 10 basically issues that they're facing. Number one, they refinanced their home twice, not once, but twice over the last 20 years to help their children with financial needs, causing their mortgage now to be even higher than it was before. None of their children or other family members are in a financial position to help them. They have earned decent money over the years but failed to preserve for their retirement. They have no investments out there anywhere. They have less than $500 in their joint savings account. That's less than $500, and they're in their early 60s. They're having serious transportation issues. Their home is in need of serious repairs, including a new roof. Between the two of them, they have an insurance policy valued at only $20,000. They do not have mortgage insurance. They are both approximately 5 years away from applying for Social Security benefits and will only receive about $2,900 combined when their monthly expenses are now over $3,800 a month, which they are having difficulty meeting even now. Now, with all the financial issues there, they are all of a sudden they are blaming each other for squandering monies over the years. The question that I started out with tonight, Benny from Benny from the block, I want to throw this one at you. The first question is, I mean, how do you think Efrem Franco got to this point? How do you really seriously think they got to this point?
Well, typically when you look at the geography of where they live, probably how they were raised, it was a rural country. There was not a lot of emphasis placed on savings, future. A lot of those things were never really important to rural people because they just assumed that they would probably die before they got to the age of retirement. And that's common with a lot of people. They don't always think about the future. They just think, well, I'm going to live right now and figure it out later, you know, what I'm going to do. And so that's where they are. Now, we can't necessarily find them to be in a fault in terms of some of their financial decisions. If you're not around, okay, let me say this. The table you sit at is going to determine the conversation that you have. So if you sit at a table with people that are having a conversation that's not conducive about your future, your life, your finances and stuff, you're going to continue to have these types of situations and things that keep going around and around and revolving. That's why their children are repeating the same things that they have done. They're not financially stable either. So in mm-hmm. these cases, they have to basically get to a place of saying, hey, this is our situation. This is where we are. We're going to just make the best of it. We made the best of it for these past 60-plus years, so we'll just continue making the best of it in our financial life. Will it mean they may have to continue working into their retirement time? Possibility. Will it mean that they might not get the medical care and help that they should have gotten? Possibility. Will it mean that they may suffer and not go without some things? Possibility. But the fact of the matter is they have lived their lives, and they're still going to be able to receive some benefit of their work.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky, to the rescue, I mean, you know, even when they're 5 years away from applying for Social Security, and when they even get there, it's only $2,900 combined when their monthly expenses are $3,800. I mean, what happened to this couple? How do you – I mean, I understand what Benny from the block is saying, that some people think that, oh, I'm not going to make it to retirement. I'll probably die before then. But what about those who may not be thinking that way? Ricky, to the rescue.
And it's interesting that the point is that they're not thinking that way. And that could typically happen when we live.
We can barely hear you. We can barely hear you.
When we're living in the moment. That should be better. Is that better?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Thank you.
That typically can happen when we're living in the moment. And that happens because we're not necessarily planning for the future or we necessarily have goals. But kind of to echo what was already said, you have to be exposed to certain things to actually know that. And so now in the moment in which they're placed in, they have to look and search for emergency resources to be able to pull themselves out of that hole in which they have created. And it takes it.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. It takes it.
I was going to say it takes a step at a time. So it's almost like if you, you know, like you shake up a Coca-Cola bottle and you shake it up, you shake it up, you shake it up, and then you try to pop the top and it explode all over the place. This is what has happened into their life. So they have to figure out ways to start pulling back one by one because you, I believe you say it was 10 things, but that's where it has to start with one.
Right. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky, to the rescue, just before you, while you're standing by, I do want to ask you this question here. I mean, these are supposed to be seasoned adults. I'm not trying to criticize or blame them for their fallacies, but would you say that they did not make wise decisions by taking out not one second mortgage or refinancing, but two times they did this to help their adult children? I mean, was that a wise financial decision that's now costing them more, in your opinion?
It's definitely causing them at this point, but I also think we have to probably be careful in judging the situation as well because I'm pretty sure they did what they thought was smart, right? And so in doing what you thought was smart at the time, that has to deal with how you was educated, how you was taught, what you was exposed to, and the people in which you was around.
Okay, and that's a lot of what was echoed by Benny from the block. Ms. J, go ahead and read the disclaimer. As we continue our program, we're going to take some of the comments that are also coming into the studio tonight.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or leadership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the programming tonight.
All right. We're gonna pause also for another moment, and I want to go back to Ricky to the Rescue. Ricky to the Rescue, tell us a little bit about your business. He's also one of our sponsors, and how people can get in touch with you for your services. And he's also advertising in our weekly newsletter.
Yes, and thank you, Dr. Walker. I am Ricky Hogans, also known as Ricky to the Rescue, and I have a life coaching business in which I assist people in developing a life plan. This will include life goals, similar to the scenario which that we're speaking about today, but it's developing your plan towards your future, starting from your present, with what you have and how you could build upon that. And so it's very strategic in how you're developing this plan, because you establish personal development goals to help you get to where you're trying to go. And this may involve personal, spiritual, or business development.
All right, excellent. How do they get in touch with you, Ricky to the Rescue?
The easiest way to actually gain access to me, and you can actually see the different services that's provided in more detail, it's at 2greatness.com. That is the number 2greatness.com. You can also call me directly at 404-968-9940. Again, that telephone number is 404-968-9940.
Excellent. Thank you for that. We are going to go back to making wise financial decisions in your personal life. That's where we'll come on momentarily and tell you about the upcoming show scheduled Tuesday. He'll briefly just reintroduce that to you all. It's still not too late. It was you, if you missed the deadline for $20, that was up to the 15th. You can still get in on this program, and it's $50 now to register. However, it's valued at $500, so you're still getting a tremendous savings. You will not want to miss this program. Let me go here and bring in Lady C. Lady C, I've got to ask you this question here because, you know, making wise financial decisions, we're talking about Effie now. I mean, here it is. These people are in their early 60s, and, you know, I mean, it's just heartbreaking, heart-wrenching to see that a couple at this age and this stage of their life, between her, Effie and Franco, now they're blaming each other. Why do you think that came to, this is when they need to be pulling together, but now they're blaming each other. This is not the place to blame. What do you think, Lady C?
You know, to be honest with you, you know, when it comes to $2,900, that is pretty good. You know, they may have to just move to an area that has more of a low income area, you know? Some cities, housing, the cost of housing is way high. But there are other cities where that $2,900 can go a long way when it comes to two people.
Okay,
you
that's
know?
A good thought. Uh-huh. They can certainly live in another part of the world. Some areas that I know of, and $2,900 combined could do well. However, Lady C, you're failing to realize that they have monthly expenses of $3,800. So they are in a deficit of at least $900 a month. So even though that looks pretty good, they're still in a deficit.
They're going to have to let go of some things. There are some things that they, I mean, they're technically living above their means, you know. I mean, if they have a, I mean, they have to let go of something. If they're mortgaging out more than one house, guess what? One house may have to go into foreclosure. They won't be the first person to go into first foreclosure. And they paying cable bill and internet bill, they got to let that go. You know, it's ways to save money. It just depends on what is more important to you.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go. Let's bring Susie. Suzanne, I believe it is showing us here. Suzanne, thank you for your patience. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Suzanne, making wise financial decisions in your personal life. I mean, here's a couple that neither one of them, they worked on jobs 37 years, over 37 years, and they didn't realize they weren't going to get a pension. How can that happen? How does that happen, Suzanne?
Oh, it happens every day. There's very few jobs that offer pensions anymore. Mm-hmm. Yep, happens all the time.
So if that's the case, Suzanne, in your opinion, would you advise somebody now that's saying, okay, if you're starting out on a job, you've been working there 1 or 2 years, should you go to HR, human resources, or your supervisor at some point and say, listen, do you all have a pension plan? Is that, would you ask your boss that?
Yeah, that should be one of the things you ask when you go for your interview. That's very important.
So if you like that job, Suzanne, if you really, really like that job, that's the job of your dreams, but you discover that the employer does not have a pension plan, what would be a wise decision to make at that point?
If it's a job that you like and they don't have one, maybe they're going to pay you enough where you'll be able to save in 401 or 403 so that you'll be able to take care of yourself later on.
All right. Suzanne, we're going to ask you to stand by. If you all want to chime in also, first one in doubt, we will get to some of the comments in the studio. Ms. J, let me bring you in here. Ms. J, if they don't, I mean, you've been working on a job 12 years, and all of a sudden you discover you're 54, and all of a sudden now you're realizing that you don't have any pension from the previous job, and you don't have any pension from this job that you're currently working on after 12 years, and you're approaching retirement within the next 10 years. What do you do? What kind of wise decision can you make at that point, 54 now?
Number one, once you start working, 16, 17, 18, whether they got a pension plan or not, I feel you need to just set saving goals, some type of saving type mechanism. If you just put it in a saving account, a 401k, or money market, it's never too early, it's never too late. That's number one. You cannot depend on a job for your retirement. That's what a lot of people do. They depend on the Social Security, got to wait till you way up in the 60s, and then the pensions, you may not have them like someone said. You can't depend on a job. So a wise decision is people fail to realize you got to set your own savings goals. That's number one. Because people are understanding good financial decisions, what's all involved in it. And they need to get an understanding of it. You're young and you're going to get old. So you got the budget. You got to plan for all this stuff. So planning and saving. Don't overlive your means. And don't be giving that money to them grown kids. You know, they need to
but
take care of
your kids.
Themselves.
Don't you love them forever?
I love them forever. But if you done made some unwise decisions and you in your 20s and 30s, you're going to have to deal with it. Because I'm 60 years old and I'm going to be making less money than you in the future. You are able to get paying jobs and live better than I can at 60 because my money becomes limited then. So, you know, then if you're going to keep giving all your little money to your kids, and really I kind of blame the kids. Who would take their money from the elderly parents?
That's interesting. That's very interesting. I read somewhere several years ago, and I read this somewhere, and you can probably find it somewhere publicly, about Bill Gates, of course, being one of the richest people in the world. And with all that he has, the billions, the multiple billions that he has, he said, you know, he will only leave his kids about $2 million each. And so I think it's something behind that, even though he has the wealth. But that might be a situation where if you don't know how to manage wealth, it can destroy you. I mean, ask the kid who, I mean, that family who got their kid off in a case temporarily for affluenza. You know, he was so rich he didn't know, they claimed he didn't know right from wrong. But anyway, that's a whole nother show. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here and tell the audience on what we're going to be doing next. Susie, just briefly, you have about 30 seconds. We're going to cover all of this stuff that we're covering tonight and next Tuesday's broadcast. You don't want to miss this because this will give you mechanics and components, how-to components, in order to get yourself to a state or status of spiritual financial independence. Pastor Rowe, 30 seconds, please, sir.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, how to, I think that's very good. And like everything, you know, making wise, you know, decisions. I've heard so much, you know, but I'm definitely going to be at that class, you know, because nobody has a monopoly on knowledge. You know, we always can put ourselves, you know, in a position of learning. And one thing that I learned since I've been on the show, you know, like Ricky to the Rescue, you know, has his expertise. And, of course, Marjorie Cross, you know, to the Rescue, is given ways and means how we can achieve financial independence, you know. But we have to really align ourselves up with God. Someone once says, I've been young, but now I'm old, but I never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. You know, so when we align ourselves with the word of God, you know, things will happen. I mean, scripture, you know, we got to get rid of job. Job stands for just over broke. You know, we have to learn how to plan our work and work our plan and have money working for us instead of we working for money. And I would encourage everybody, you know, get with Marjorie Cross on the plans that she have to achieve financial independence, and Ricky to the Rescue and others. But I'm excited, Dr. Walker. You are a financial genius. You know how to impart knowledge, and I would encourage everybody to tell others about this class, and they'll learn how to make wise and prudent decisions. And you can learn the details, particulars, and specifics by going to betteryourself.info. And that would explain all about being a sponsor, attending the classes, and all about the creating your own financial portfolio so you won't find yourself just over broke. J-O-B, that's what a job is, just over broke, you know. But we want to become successful, and I encourage everyone to get with Dr. Walker, attend that class. And, of course, Marjorie Cross with the programs and plans she have to helping people achieve financial independence. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right, thank you so very much for that. We're going to go ahead. Just before we start taking some of the comments, we're almost out of time. And just before we start taking some of the comments, we're going to go ahead and have a brief 20-second commercial break. Marjorie Cross, Ms. Cross, thank you for joining us to tonight's show. Thank you for your patience.
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, Pastor Rowe, all your co-hosts, and everyone on this show. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a nurse, and I'm a health and wellness consultant with one of the most greatest companies in the world, Astrogenics. We have a lot of products that may be able to help you. We have a lot of health products, like collagen, adaptogens, and other products. And we may be able to help you with any illness at all that you have. And you could reach me at, you could go to betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. And my telephone number is 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. And that website, every day Pastor Rowe is working on that, and I assist him, you know, with that. And you'll find a lot of information about the company and everything, about Dr. Walker's show, about Astrogenics and everything. So thank you, Dr. Walker. God bless you all. Great show as usual.
And thank you, Sister.
You're all right. Welcome.
All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can certainly go into the show in the archives at drjessewalker.com and find out more about the upcoming programs that we're having, including the show for Tuesday night. Simply going to drjessewalker.com, looking up the Spiritual Financial Independent Coaching Sessions. Let me go back now, and I want to bring in Benny from the Block. And Benny from the Block asked you the question We'll give you the first comment, actually, that is coming to the studio tonight and get your thoughts on that, certainly. This male writes in, he says, it took me a long time to realize the real American dream is to have money to have a better lifestyle. Unfortunately, I did not make wise financial decisions in my early adult years because I blew my money on things instead of wisely investing. Now in my 50s, I feel it. Okay, so he blew his money. A lot of people blow their money, but he's in his 50s now. Can he still recover? Benny from the block?
Yes, you can recover. You have to make some drastic and dramatic changes in your life. You have to downsize down to the bare basic essentials. No cable, no extra this, no extra that, no eating out for a year or two, no wasting money on unnecessary things, or buying unnecessary things. I would even consider maybe getting a roommate for a period of time to at least try to recoup a little bit of that money to help put some savings away. So when you're in your 50s and you have not done that which is necessary, you have to make serious, drastic changes. You have to, because once you get over 55, 60, your abilities to be able to produce and generate money drop significantly, unless you have your own business or something outside. But if you're still working, you just can't save enough money to be able to take you into retirement or into your later years properly. So I would suggest you make drastic changes now while you still can.
Well, I'm going to answer standby. Lady C, the problem is sometimes, you know, you offer things to help people. You really do. You offer a lot of things to help people, even the workshop that we've got coming up next week, $20. And people will complain about that, but they'll go buy a pair of expensive athletic shoes for $150. Tell me about that mindset, in your opinion. I mean, you won't invest $20 into yourself for knowledge that could be valued at over $500, but you'll go buy something that, you know, you'll sit in the closet, you'll wear them a few times, you'll sit them in the closet, and so forth and so on. Help me with that mindset to understand that.
It just depends, you know, but we're speaking of someone who is financial, who is in a financial bind. If someone's in a financial bind, you know, they may not can afford $20 to take a financial class, you know. But the advice that need to be given to them is, you know, let's go, you know, looking for jobs that can pay you more money. Let's put a resume together. Let's do something. Even if you got to work at Walmart, you know, let's do something to get you extra income, you know. That mm-hmm. free extra income. You understand?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I should stand by. Ricky to the rescue, I want to bring you in here. Now, I heard what Lady C said, and certainly you're speaking to someone who may not be able to afford $20, but that same person, and I know this personally because I've interacted with so many people, that same person will not invest the $20 into something that they can learn to bring more, that teaches them how to fish as opposed to giving them fish. But then that same individual, I got to get my nails done. I got to get my hair done. I got to get my eyelashes. You know, and the male, you know, on the counterpart, we're not picking that gender because the male would turn out, listen, I got to have me some shoes, I got to have those True Religion belts for $150. Help me understand that in your opinion, Ricky, to the rescue.
Yes, and I think the key thing to look at in what we're talking about is instant gratification, right? And so we feed off adrenaline. And feeding off that adrenaline and getting that instant gratification, it comes fast. So it's like we're living in the here and now. And so to try to see something that's, you know, far above or far off, it's almost that scenario you can't see the forest because of the trees. It's what's in front of
you. Right.
And so if I get something that's flashy, especially in the day and age that we live in as it pertains to social media, and someone say, oh, you look good, that's instantly giving us gratification, right? And so it's almost like you're feeding something, and you continue to feed it until you're and now you have nothing.
Wow. See, these are programs that we're going to cover Tuesday night. And I was hoping that one of our presenters, our main presenter that will be carrying these series, would be available tonight to press 1 to just introduce herself and be able to say a little bit about, you know, what she's doing, what she brings to the table, and how she looks to help people reach a point of spiritual financial independence in their life. I was hoping that she would have been on with us tonight, and I don't see her. And if she is, we'll ask her to press 1 and come on and say a few words, because this is a very powerful lady. In fact, there she is. She is on here. Miss Mimi, we're going to bring her in, let her introduce herself and give her as much time as she wants to. Miss Mimi, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Walker. Hi, everyone. My name is Mimi Walker, and I have my Master's of Business Administration and have been in corporate for a little over 15 years, about 20 years, actually. And I also am PMP certified, which is Project Management Professional certified. And my family and I were able to become debt-free in 2020 during the pandemic. And so there's a way that we're able to do that. It's a few years, but we're able to, you know, to pay off all of our debts at the same time build a very fruitful retirement fund. And so that's allowed us to have peace in our lives. And so what we want to do now and what I want to do now is share some techniques and information with people to make sure that everyone else can also find that peace, that financial peace in their lives.
Excellent. So, Ms. Mimi, what are some of the things that you will talk about? I mean, will budgeting be one of those, household budgeting, sacrifices? I mean, if I want some true religion pants or an outfit or the Gucci or whatever the latest is out there, are you going to be telling me that I can't have those things if I'm not making a lot of money? I mean, what will you be talking about?
Well, we're going to talk about a lot of, you know, different things. So we're going to cover all of the main pillars of finance. I call it EPSIS: earnings, budgeting, savings, investment, and, of course, spending. So when you're talking about buying name brand belts like Ferragamo's, and True Religion and things like that, there is a time where, you know, you'll be able to spend, just that you have to cover those first, those other pillars first to get to that point. So we want you to enjoy your life, but we want you to enjoy your life with peace, not with worry, not with hesitation of what, you know, what's coming up next, you know, what I have to pay tomorrow, can I afford it, you know, am I going to be okay? If I lose my job, am I going to be okay? We don't want you to have those worries. We want you to have peace and be able to eventually get to the point where you feel good about buying that religion belt.
Mm-hmm. So you and your family, Ms. Mimi, without getting into your personal business, and you know, and when you go on the show next week, I'm sure you'll tell people what you want them to know about you all. But I did hear you say that you all are debt-free at this point. Are you over the age of 60, 70 years old? Did it take you that long? I mean, you and your family? I heard you say you worked for 15 years. You're not in your 70s?
No, not at all. We're more early, mid-age group.
Early 60s or?
Nope. You could minus 20 from that.
Wow. So you're in your 40s. Are you saying that?
Yeah, we're in our early 40s.
And you're financially independent. Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. That is amazing. That is a dream. You know, without going into your personal business a lot, I mean, you'll tell us what you want us to know next week. How does it feel to be financially independent? How does it feel?
It feels great. It gives you, like, a sense of almost like freedom. Like, you can handle anything that comes your way.
Wow.
It feels wonderful. It is a sense of peace that you get getting to this point.
Mm-hmm. I certainly look forward to your presentation next week. And I understand that you are going to be conducting most of these series every month. Is that right? And then tell us what PMP is. And I know you say that you have a master's in business administration. But PMP, what is that all about?
Well, PMP is a certification that you get as a leader of projects. So as you – the focus of project management and project management certification is – there's a method of like organizing certain things and getting things done more efficiently, more proficiently. And so to be certified is to basically be like a master able to do that, in corporate and otherwise. So I have used some of my project skills and things that I've learned throughout leading projects and getting my certification that's helped me in my personal life. It's really like adding structure to chaos and making things that are difficult, sometimes, you know, hard to understand, more simple, more understandable for others.
Okay. Maybe just two other questions. One is, who should probably tune in to your series that you're going to be conducting every month? I mean, what target group should, you know, what's your audience that you're kind of looking for? To help.
Well, my audience is really anyone, you know. And, of course, it depends on where you are in your life. You know, some people, you know, have their retirement savings already in hand, but maybe they have a little issue with budgeting, you know, thing for everyday things. Some people may be living paycheck to paycheck. They're like, how am I going to save to be able to have, you know, retirement or to be able to, you know, buy the things that I actually want and not necessarily need. So it's really open to everyone. When I'm speaking to like younger people, for instance, like that are college age, I give them information about that, you know, getting out of college and things you can do to save while you're in college, and then, you know, what you need to look for when you get into the corporate world, when you start working, things you should be doing, you know, financially. But if, you know, if you're middle age, then things that you can be doing now, no matter where you are financially, to better your future. So it all, you know, it all depends on what the need is, but it's open to everybody.
Okay, so Ms. Mimi, I know you say you're financially independent and you're in your early 40s, and my thing is I would like to ask you an honest question. If you don't feel comfortable, you can pass, but were you born with a silver spoon? You know, sometimes people come on these shows and they're like, you know, their parents gave them $500,000 or $5 million, and of course you're financially independent because you have a jump start, but I mean, are you one of those that was born with a silver spoon, or did you work from scratch?
You know, I wish that was true, that I was born with a silver spoon, because life would have been much easier. But so I wasn't one of those people. I'm a child of immigrants. I remember my mom used to make $15,000 a year when I was growing up. And how do I know this is because I used to have to help her with her paperwork, and I used to have to translate things to her. So I used to see her paychecks. So my mom was able to make $15,000 a year, but she, in her retirement right now, is a homeowner. She doesn't live in the biggest, you know, nicest neighborhood and all of that stuff, but she owns her own house, and she doesn't have a lot of debt, if any. So even though we came from humble beginnings, I learned from my mom and you know, how she handles certain things, but I also learned that the best thing you can do for poor to be one of them. So that's one thing that I kind of focused on to make sure that, you know, my mom was able to do so much with so little, with me having my education and having, you know, certain opportunities that she didn't have, you know, I have to do better. So
So Ms. Mimi, one other question, then we're going to jump to tonight's broadcast tonight, and then I want to ask you this year, your education. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, many people who have formal education are surrounded by astronomical student debt. Now, you say you're financially independent, and I just want to ask this question, and if you don't feel comfortable, you can pass, but that leaves suspicion in our minds. You know, you say you have an MBA. Do you still have student loan debt with your MBA? Most people I know do have debt.
No, when I say that we are debt-free, that means we do not have any student loan debt, any credit card debt, any car payment debt, anything like that.
So when you say we, are you talking about you and your mom?
And my husband.
Is he educated? Is he formally educated as well?
He is. He also has his MBA. So we financed, we didn't finance, we paid our MBAs. We just, you know, took our time and went to school and used our money and paid that. And then we worked on our bachelor's student debt. I didn't have much because I actually had scholarships in college that helped with most of my my debt. And then my mother actually helped with some of the cost. And so I actually graduated with a low amount of student loan debt. My husband had more. But, a lot of things I feel like is a mindset type thing. There's a certain mindset that, you know, you kind of have to adopt if you don't and decide on, like, you know, what do you want? Where do you want to be in a certain amount of time, in 10 years, in 20 years? You know, how do you want to feel? How do you want to be living? And so mindset has a lot to do with the decisions that we make. And, you know, but it starts with, you know, what do you really want?
Right. We certainly look forward to your presentation next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Those of you all that are still interested, even though it's $50 now because you may have missed the deadline for the $20, but it's very serious, and you can register at drjesswalker.com. Just go to payment option and select 50. If you do the 20, it'll probably reject you. And then you can always sign up for next month as well early for the $20. All right, just getting back to the show, we're almost out of time, and we're going to have Ms. J close us out tonight in about 8 minutes. Ms. J, I hope you'll be able to close us out making wise financial decisions in your personal life.
Okay.
In fact, Ms. J, we're going to give you the next comment. We have several of them, and we're going to try to get to as many of you all as we possibly can tonight. This email right here, Ms. J, she says, I married a man who was financially sound, and I learned a great deal from him. This was over 15 years ago, and today he has offered me the opportunity to retire at my age of 58 as opposed to waiting until 65. It pays to get with someone who will not waste money. It can help you in the future. Ms. J, how important is that in your opinion?
It's very important. In marriage, I think you should be partners, and that financial situation is a partnership, a marriage, and it's good. She got with someone like that, and they worked together, and she was able to retire early, and that's wonderful. It's knowledge and understanding, and they did it early, and she had someone who had that knowledge. That was great.
Excellent. Pastor Rowe, we'll give you the next comment, and we're rushing now because we've got about 6 minutes before we close out the show. And Pastor Rowe, the question becomes, the comment is, the female says, I seriously wish I had taken some financial classes to better manage my money. I am now in my 40s and have worked since 17 and don't have anything to show for it. I'm a single mother with three children and struggling financially. Money is serious if you want to really have anything decent in life. Pastor Rowe, how important is that? Money is serious, she says, but she's in her 40s, and, you know, she doesn't have anything to show for it. Pastor Rowe, quickly.
Okay, we've been talking about formal education, but also spiritual education is vitally important. And I just like to just say, speaking real fast because of time constraints, you know, I encourage everybody to read Deuteronomy 28, and it talks about, the blessing that you do when you do things right. And I want to just encourage and challenge everyone to support Dr. Walker in his endeavors of helping peoples in these impoverished countries. I made a financial decision. I was going to give $300 a month to that cause, with the motivation and objective even giving more. And I just want to encourage everyone, try God and give out of your needs and your wants, and see if God really won't bless you. And support, you know, become a sponsor. And I promise you, you'll have bread enough and to spare. Just give to support these impoverished people, and God will bless you, and your cup will never go empty. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you for that. We're going to go now to Danny from the block. Then we'll go by Lady C. I want to ask you both the same question here. This male writes in, he says, I finally understand the saying, if you think education is expensive, fight ignorance. I used to hear this slogan on TV when I was a young child. I wish I had listened and applied some financial knowledge to it. I think you have to seriously pay close attention to making sure you do make wise financial decisions when it comes to spending your hard-earned money. Benny from the block, quickly, and then Lady C. How important is that, making wise decisions when it comes to spending your money?
Well, spending your money is a very, very important freedom that we have. Even though we earn money and we have to go about getting it over time, we still have to be responsible and accountable to that which has been given to us. We could talk about the spiritual side of it, which is very important, and we also have a personal side of it, which is important too. But we have to make good decisions. When we make bad decisions and we've learned to make good decisions, we should share that with the next generation of people coming up so that they don't repeat the same patterns that we did.
Excellent. Lady C, we're bringing you in for the same question here, talking about the money management. I mean, seriously.
I think it's very important to manage your money, especially for the future. You should always have the mindset of saving for the future because you never know what's going to happen. We live day by day. We can lose our job tomorrow. We can get hurt. We can get sick. Anything can happen. And you have to be able to cover those expenses. You know, when you do get hurt or whatever, whenever life knocks you down, you know, even in the future when it comes to retirement, just like Lady J say, you got to build your own retirement and not allow someone else to build it for you.
Yeah, stand by. Ms. Mimi, I want to bring you in, Ms. Mimi, and ask you a question. I mean, you got a lot of people. I even grew up in the era that people say, well, oh, money is evil. But, I mean, and then the Bible, I know the Bible talks about the root, the love of money is the root of all evil. But then the Bible also says that money answers all things. So what about people with the mindset, Ms. Mimi, who think that, okay, you shouldn't be rich? Is that a myth? Is anything wrong with being, you know, financially independent or well off or rich for that fact matter?
Well, I think it's up to the individual to decide if there's anything wrong with being rich per se, depending on how rich you're talking about. but money is a tool that money is a tool, you know, that's used in our society to make things, to get things, you know, done and to make things happen. So I feel like, you know, with any other tool, like, you know, when you need to, you know, fix put a house together, build a house. You know, you need certain tools to be able to do that. You need certain tools to be able to, you know, do certain things. And money is a tool that is a, you know, that we use in our society, in our lives, to make things happen and to get things done. So if we look at it that way, then it's more about, you know, being smart with the tool and making certain, you know, being able to make certain decisions having that tool. So, 'cause if you don't have the right tools, you can't build a house, right? If you don't have the right tools, you can't fix an appliance, for instance. So if you don't have money, there's certain things you're just not going to be able to do that you may need to do or want to do.
We're going to answer, stand by. Ricky to the rescue. We're almost out of time. We got about 25 seconds before Ms. J closes us out. This female writes in, she says, over my 57 years of living, I realized that a great deal of money passes through our hands. As such, it's not what we make, but what we can show for it. I learned by taking classes in my early 20s to save money for rainy days and to make wise decisions about my spending. How important is that, to save for rainy days? Bring it to the rescue.
It's very important because then you can have foresight on what you'll be able to do once you have it in your possession. So I know it was said earlier about a mind state and a mindset. It's important to create a habit of saving because then it becomes natural.
Excellent. Ms. J, we're going to give you the final comment and then close us out because they're threatening me over here all the way in Georgia. I'm with one of the producers, in fact. This male says, he writes in and says, I think a lot of people spend money on the wrong things, which later they realize they don't even need more than half the things they bought. To me, it's all about how much you can save. Ms. J, give us a final thought on that and close us out for the evening.
Yes, people should prioritize their spending more and save more. And to close us out, I just want to say that everyone financial personal life is different, and of course our income is different, and even our financial responsibilities are different, and so far. But one thing, the financial decisions are the same, and it's important that we understand it. And what I mean by the financial decision, I'm talking about budgeting and spending, saving, and your retirement. And it's never too late, it's never too early or too late for us to make these good financial decisions in our personal life. So we shouldn't be out there worrying about our finance, because we don't really have to, because help is out there. So I say to each of you, help is there, so get it. For you won't have to do all this worrying throughout your life, because life is to be enjoyed.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. You all, we got a continuation of this show in a different format tomorrow night. You will definitely not want to miss tomorrow night's show. This is going to be a super-duper show tomorrow night that still deals with finances when it relates to God. You know, you don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. You really want to tune in for tomorrow night, and I tell you, it's going to be a show. I want to thank all of you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us this evening. It's been a pleasure. Tonight we were talking about making wise decisions in your personal life. Tomorrow night's topic is going to be, why should God help you? Why should God? That's tomorrow night's topic. Why should God help you out of your financial mess? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. Why should God help you out of your financial mess? Listen, until tomorrow night or until next Thursday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker, Pastor Rowe, and all the poor oats and everyone on the show. Great show. God bless you all. Bye.
Bye.
All the best for the new year to you all.
You also happy new year again.
Yeah.